The following program contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. If you are under 18, please find your titillation elsewhere. All views expressed on this program are solely those of the person who said them. Anyone who says otherwise is looking for a throwdown. We are not doctors or medical professionals, so all advice is for novelty purposes only. Greetings and salutations, listeners. I'm Cooper, and along with Anya, Tyler, Kylie, Dylan, and Elliot, I'd like you to pull up a swing and come along with us on a discussion of open relationships, sexuality, and discovering who you are and where you fit into a world wherein the people around you hold pleasure for all as an ideal. This ain't your parents' world of romantic TV dinners and sex twice a year, boys and girls. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, where sharing is caring. Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set. Here, this is episode 2, where we continue our discussion about dipping a toe in and how to find others. An episode we're calling Birds of a Feather Like to Tickle Other Birds. So, I'm Cooper, and here with me is Kylie, Tyler, and Dylan. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
And before we get started, as always, does anyone have any business, anything they want to talk about?
Who came up with the name for this episode?
this is Cooper. Our producer who was not able to be on the show, Elliot. Wrote my show notes and
how very convenient.
Yes, yes. She wrote it so she wouldn't have to be on it, and then could blame me for any issues. I think
it's clearly your fault.
Clearly, yeah, absolutely. So when we last were talking, we got to the, so you decided to become a blank, open relationship person, how to set some ground rules and boundaries.
Yeah,
and
solely based off of our first episode, you decided to get into this.
which is good. We are evangelists to the cause, spreading the good word that sex is awesome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that you'd have to convince people that sex is awesome, but you'd be surprised how many people you have to convince that sex is awesome.
No, sex is a sin. It's very bad. We shouldn't be doing it.
Many, many times.
With many people.
Yeah. I think that's the thing they
preferably
don't like.
Preferably at
is
the
because
same time.
Absolutely. So, we're continuing on that, we were just touching on safe sex and all the bummer that comes along with sexually transmitted infections, which is now the appropriate way of referring to it, not STDs anymore, STIs.
STIs, yeah.
When did that change?
I don't know, fairly recently, because diseases imply something that you can catch, once. An infection is more of something you can have and not even know about and all that, and spread, and that's the fun state of wide open sexuality right there. So
sounds exciting.
So, safe sex is important. That's kind of what we want to hit home is. But and at the same time, when a lot of safe sex educators will talk about not only condoms, but talk about oral barriers and wearing condoms during oral sex and using a dental dam for oral sex on women. I've been in the lifestyle for a little while now, and I have yet to see anything for oral sex. So we preach safe sex, safe-ish sex anyway.
Safe-ish.
Well, sex is there's risk involved, and you got to be comfortable with that. If you're not comfortable with it.
Yeah, it's like you can wear a full body condom and still get something. It's just, what happens.
The easiest way to have safe-ish sex, is what I'll call it, is to know the person you're having the sex with.
Exactly.
A lot of swingers, and I know a few, who spend every weekend at the swinger clubs and fuck new people constantly, and that is probably a sure path towards eventually catching something than the swingers I know who have a pretty set number of couples who see the same people mostly. But of course, it only takes one.
That's true.
Yeah. So let's get off the bummer topic and move back. Let's just pretend that you know all about sexual safety and ways to minimize your risk, if not eliminate your risk.
Let's talk about sex. That's always a happy topic.
Yes, absolutely. So the big question then is, so you've decided to become a swinger, a polyamorous, have open relationships, blah, blah, blah. What should you do before you have that first moment? Let's say you've said, okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this. What is important to you guys for the discussion immediately preceding a first encounter here?
Well, I think the obvious first one would be, you know, you guys, whether you suspect yourselves or not, you go end up getting checked at a clinic or, you know, with your local doctor and have a full, you know, STI panel run.
And something to know is that they don't test for herpes or HPV unless you ask for it.
Oh, wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's very important to know. But you want to make it very clear to the place you are getting tested that you want a full workup, including herpes testing and HPV testing, just to be on the safe side.
You know, Tonya and I just ended up starting seeing, or we just saw a new doctor recently, and you know, one of the more uncomfortable discussions you can have with them is asking for, you know, an STI test. And, you know, whether they ask you or not why you want it, you kind of end up having to say, well, we're in a non-monogamous relationship at this point. Because,
or you can say, mind your own business, do it anyways.
Well, the reason I say non-monogamous relationship is, number one, it doesn't really give away that much information, and they really shouldn't be asking any more questions after that, or at least non-medical questions. But it's because it changes the kinds of tests that they will want to run. I mean, you know, I know that going in there, I wanted them to run pretty much everything. But in talking to my my doctor, you know, I told him we're in a non-monogamous relationship. And he said there were still a couple tests that he wouldn't suggest running unless there were other issues going on, you know. And you know, so there's a good reason for it. There's a legitimately good reason for your healthcare provider to know how many you know, whether you're having sex with one person in a closed circuit or whether you're in a big, you know, happy open circuit with lots of people. So I think that even though it was a little uncomfortable to start out that way, it's necessary and you have to do it, especially if you're going to get checked for the right things.
Yeah, my doctor is sure I'm cheating on my wife because I haven't elaborated much more than I'm in an open relation. No, I'm non-monogamous. And I'm perfectly willing to let her think that because she's giving me this little snippy attitude about, you know, every time I talk to her about it. So, you know, I don't feel the need to explain myself.
Just start hitting on her. That'll help out.
Well, she's pregnant also, so.
Just start hitting on her. That'll help out.
That's next.
Hey, pregnant women, fantastic. So.
Yes, finding other people to play with is your next step.
The best step.
It is. It's not the best step. The best step is playing.
Fair enough.
The finding the other people is, it can be somewhat difficult depending on how you want to go about it. I have personally found the easiest way is to use one of the many, 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 many lifestyle websites. And there is a review for the website Lifestyle Lounge on our site here. And it is the one I would recommend and the one that Marilyn and I use.
You got to remember that a lot of these things are regional, you know.
The one I recommend not using just because of the bugginess of it and is Adult Friend Finder. There's tons of people on there, but because there's tons of people, we've had, at least me and Darth have had a lot of bad experiences, and we have also had a lot of fakes where it's a guy pretending to be a couple or stuff like that, and the website itself is just so buggy that you want to throw your computer out the door before, you know, because you found this perfect person for both you guys, but you can't contact them.
Well, I think a good way of finding out whether you're on an okay site or not is to find out how it advertises. I know that whenever I'm on any site even remotely related to something that's non-standard, I mean, I don't even mean if I'm browsing a porn site. I mean if I'm on, you know, on an alternate news site, and you look at the sidebar, and then all of a sudden there's this semi-naked chick dancing, and it says adult friend finder, get your kicks, whoever you want, anytime. They have the sleaziest advertising everywhere, and it's not just them.
It is. They act
but,
like it's a porn site. That's the kind of people
much.
They end up attracting that sticks to it. So
one of the things to know about adult friend finder is it was bought by Hustler a few years back.
Yeah, it was.
And that kind of changed, Hustler bought it and then kind of factioned it into multiple sites. So your login for Adult Friend Finder is also a login for like 6 to 10 other sites, and people will contact you on those as well. Your profile is duplicated. And I think the big thing to know with Adult Friend Finder is its profile works for it and against it. There are a lot of people on there who are legitimately looking for connections, but there are also a lot of people on there who are, bullshit.
Well, I got to say this, though. It because it's, like, national, at least here in the United States, it got us connected with some people that geared us toward Lifestyle Lounge, which is big in this area. And a lot of these sites tend to be regional. There's big one for the Midwest, and there's big one for the, California. And like LL, there's, you can see on the, where people are from on there, they're not from everywhere. There's a big community in California, it seems. There's a really big community in Scottsdale, Arizona. And then there's one, in the Midwest. So
when it originated
in
Minnesota.
Yeah, it did. And you kind of have to, you're actually going to have to meet some people on the ground. You got to start somewhere, and sometimes AFF may be the only viable website to try until you meet somebody on the ground that says, "Hey, you know what? This site's better." Don't
right. So what? So what you need to do first is if use resources that you have, AFF, whatever. But then make sure that you don't jump the gun at the first person that you or first couple that you see. Make sure that contact them, but then make sure that. Both you and your significant other like the way they look, the way their profile sounds, and then talk to them via Messenger for a while to get to know, talk about, not only
try
about...
Try to talk to both of them, too, right? Because,
like
you were saying, there's so many people that are just, posers, especially on AFF. And I guess if you're aware of it going in,
It's not a bad idea for the first hookup to basically put out flat... This is a meet and greet only.
We always do that because you never know, and we get the people that, they say they want to meet, they say they want to do stuff, but then even when that first meet and greet, they never show, for whatever reasons. They just, as soon as you set a meeting date, they completely lose contact with you.
Oh, that's kind of a good way to weed out the flakes, too, is kind of, kind of get out there, say.
Hey, us flakes have to stick together, leave us alone.
Go away, flakes. I want real people.
Frosted flakes, corn flakes, dandruff flakes. Got to worry about that.
Oh, why did you lump corn flakes and frosted flakes in with dandruff? Come on.
Frosted flakes are so good.
We know what he likes to eat.
Oh, man.
By the way, if you know who to send hate mail to, my name is Dylan. Dylan at lifeontheswingside.com.
Yeah, please email him.
This went so far south so fast. That's like...
Well, the other thing you want to remember with your first
really
meeting,
seriously, don't send me hate mail.
Yeah, he will cry. He is fragile.
Very.
Oh, poor bebe.
No, you don't want to go in with any expectations, and you don't want the people you're meeting to have any specific expectations, because
or just set the expectation. This is like you say, a meet and greet.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Well, when you're starting out, it's hard. Well, okay. When I was first starting out, I had a really hard time with the expectations. Not because I expected... I know you guys are talking about something slightly different, with expecting to have sex or not expecting to have
no,
sex.
No, no. Expectations in any form.
The way they talk, the way they act, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had no idea what I was getting into. I wasn't sure whether they were going to, jump me the minute I saw them, or I didn't know how anything went. And so, I think a good way to think about it is, number one, I think the... I agree with what you were saying earlier when you said it'd be a good idea to set the first date as a meet and greet. But I think it's also a good idea to think of it as just meeting some distant friends that you haven't seen in a while that you want to reconnect with, or you know, meeting a friend of a friend that you, you know, saw at a party one time and thought would be interested in meeting them again. It was very easy for me to whip myself in this frenzy of, oh God, I don't know what's going to happen, and get all nervous about it. And then, of course, nervousness brings other issues. But
yeah, but word of advice for couples that go out there first time: 90% of the time, the first time the guy hooks up, it won't work properly. It's okay. It's okay. Just make up for it with other things, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, erectile dysfunction will become a topic in the future, yes.
That's another show.
It's every show. No, I think you just have to remember you're just meeting people, and, you know, all in all, you just all want to have a good time. Whether that good time means, you know, going out and having a good time, or, you know, pinning the other woman against the wall and fucking her sideways, or whatever the hell you want to do.
Or door.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good.
The door. The door. Yeah, exactly.
I'm surprised how well that worked.
But yeah, I was
going
to say
that
door
too is
very
another
sexual
show.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be the bondage show that you can lead, sir.
Ooh, there you go.
I think there's others more experienced than I in this group, isn't there?
you can be the rope man.
The rope man.
Oh.
Yeah. Rope expert.
I'll be behind the camera.
Yeah. Not expert. You know, so when Quint asks you to tie a sheep shank, you can take care of that.
I can do that. I can tie a sheep shank if you really wanted to. And a bowline. Not a bowline. A bowline. I know.
Okay. No, anyways.
Nice. So you're,
square.
You know,
I like sex.
The expectation level is very important. You know.
One of the things I found is that it's just so cool to meet different people in this. It is a
Absolutely.
Really great experience because, you know, Holly and I kind of, we got into this rut where we were surrounded by a bunch of writers and engineers, you know, which is kind of our profession, and it was really boring. And you know, here we are a couple of years into this, and, you know, we've met police officers and nurses and teachers and accountants and lawyers and pretty much all the professional staff of my business is all, you know, people I've slept with. But
let's keep your business associates close, right?
Yeah, exactly. It works really well. But that's a joke.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. And don't, you know, we as a society have this idea, you know, we're very down on ourselves often. And so if you go into it thinking, oh, well, they're not going to like me or they're going to think I'm better, you're instantly setting yourself up for
somehow
issues.
You don't have that problem, do you, Cooper?
Yeah. Oh, seriously? I have that problem all the time. I don't think anyone's going to like me. I just hide it well.
Yeah, you do. You really do.
Yeah, so.
Well, I know that there's that, you know, Cooper and I have known each other for a little bit, and I know one thing that he had mentioned to me was, you know, that and I guess I kind of have this idea, too, where, you know, if there's another couple looking for people to enjoy, you know, they wouldn't necessarily be looking at me, although, you know, they have to make sure I'm not some kind of creep or anything like that. But, you know, Tonya's the pretty one. Tonya's the pretty one, and so they're going to go after her.
Speaking of pretty, and I'm not trying to mean, we always say that looks don't matter, but to some degree, they do. So hence why, you know, we'll look at a profile with pictures a lot sooner than we'll look at someone without. That another reason by always doing a meet and greet, because we've met people that looked one way, but then when we meet them, they're like, oh yeah, that picture was from 5 years ago, they're 800 pounds, and, you know, look like their face got run over by a truck. And first off, you know, you may not be attracted to them physically, but then they also just lied to you, which when you're going in something like this, you can't have. You can't have that.
That's true. That's two major problems. I mean, you know, I it's on one end, we all do want to be equal opportunity. But on the other hand, you do need to be attracted to the people you're going to be with. And it does bring up that trust problem. If you're relying on these pictures of people to get you in, and then you realize there's something different, it's a good reason to say, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work out, because you've already lied to us in one way.
I've had it work both ways, too. You know, we go to a regular bar meetup, and I've had people whose profiles I've passed up on the website feeling one way about them just on pictures, to meeting them in person and having them be very attractive just based on personality and meeting them in real life. And then I've had people that were really attractive in their pictures, and when you get together with them, they're, you know, dull, looking for the next best thing. And, you know, personality goes a long way So then there's clubs. Well, there's the infamous swingers clubs. There's clubs for most fetishes. There's BDSM clubs. There's all that.
Now there's good side and bad side to the clubs. As far as if you're really nervous, you know, they're good because you're not on the spot and you don't, you just kind of flow with it. If things go, they do. If not, they don't. But again, there's also bad sides to it where if you want to really get to know the person before you get to meet, a lot of times at the clubs, they're not really interested in that. They're just looking for the quick fix.
Yeah, they are. We've never been huge fans of clubs. But
yeah,
I still have not
tried it.
Yeah, you know, they are worth checking out, I think. You know, if you can try to at least meet people. But
we'll have to organize a Life on the Swing Set field trip to one of the clubs.
There we go.
That'll be good. But I mean, I think everybody on here is more of the meet a couple one-on-one kind of people.
One of our strict rules between me and my fiance is that we also want to look for friends. So we're not just looking for hookup. We're looking for, let's get together, let's go to we can go to a movie this time and then have sex the next time. But if we don't have sex every time we meet up, it's not a big deal. We're having fun hanging out as friends. And then when we do get to have sex, okay, fine, but we don't have to do it every time we hang out. And I really like that because it's relaxed. And it also, to me, makes it fun between the couple because you're more relaxed into doing more stuff, and it's not always stress that, oh my God, we're hanging out, we have to do stuff.
When I can speak for us, the people we've met in the lifestyle that we do see on a regular basis have become some of our very best friends, and it's nice to not have the divide of sexual repression that you have to get over. You know, you have a vanilla friend, and I have to quantify that when we speak of vanilla, we're speaking of monogamous, standard, generic relationship people. The gays, the lesbians have different versions of it. The BDSM community has a different version of it. Pretty much it's the non-open relationship folk are the vanillas. And when you have a friendship with them, sometimes there's always this undercurrent of sexual tension. And the nice thing about being friends with our swinger friends is you can talk about any of that stuff. And even if you're not fucking them, you can talk about sex with them and not worry about being judged or being put into a corner or being thought a deviant.
You know, I one of the early books I read on swinging when we were thinking about getting into this was, it had the complete opposite advice. It said, do not create relationships with your swinging partners. It's all, keep it separate. You don't want to know anything about them. You just get together, you screw, and you're done. Keep your,
interesting.
Yeah, it was really weird. And I was just like, you know what? That's not what I'm looking for, you know?
Right.
And I think, you know, it's when it's done right, you know, these kind of sexual friends with benefit relationships actually kind of shortcut the whole friendship building situation. You know, suddenly you do develop a really close friendship with people because you're very intimate with them. You know, you can't help but not to. And
absolutely.
And you know, and if you're not there just for the hookup, you're actually building relationships with these people. It's very rewarding. And you have a lot of good friends. You get to fool around with them. You get to do other things with them. And a lot of those traditional barriers between people is just not there, like Cooper was saying earlier.
When you find that the community itself gets very tightly knit, and you can definitely rely on these people and trust them, which is really nice. It is a hard leap to make, that initial trust, because we're not used to being so open with people that are not our significant others. And so it is initially rather difficult to make that leap, but once you get into a groove, it's really nice to have that safety net there.
It's quite liberating.
So then the last way to find people would probably be your friends. And there are a lot of differing opinions on whether or not you should try to fuck your friends.
You mean your
I'm a fan of it.
Vanilla friends, right?
That's... Yes, your vanilla friends in general.
Well, you got to know them, right? I mean, you got to have some inkling of whether or not they'd be receptive to it.
Well, what do you guys think about that? If you get this inkling, or you get these vibes, or you read into something, what do you think about pursuing that?
It's always a toss-up. Well, you can, I can see why you want to pursue it, but then there's always that chance that your hunch was wrong, and then they're going to look at you differently or not want to spend time with you because they're going to be thinking, oh, every time they're together, they're going to be trying to hit on us, or, you know, it's quite literally a toss-up.
Well, it really depends on how close you are, right? I mean, you know, I mean, if you're worried about wrecking the friendship, that's one thing. But, I mean, if they're friends in the, you know, we see them on and off every couple of weeks or something like that kind of sense, you know, I don't think you got a lot to lose.
When I've actually thrown this out to a few people, you know, we get certain feelings from people. I tend to surround myself with more open people anyway. And I hang out with more open people, the kind of people who wouldn't be shocked if suddenly I said, hey, my wife and I want to fuck you. So I've actually sent...
You're more tact than that, right?
Yeah, a little. I've sent the...
Speaking of tact.
I've sent the email out that says, hey, you know, I don't know if you'd be up for this, but sometime we might want to take you out, you know, on a date. If not, no big deal, but thought we'd put that out there.
Well, I think that... The way that that's actually not bad. I like that approach. What I've been more comfortable with is instead of necessarily putting it forth as, hey, I'm interested in you guys, because you know, depending on the kind of people you're with, you might run up against the whole, hey, you're lusting after my girlfriend, lusting after my wife, and I don't like that. Introducing it to them as an option that they could explore independently of you. I mean, not that, you know, that I don't have any friends that I wouldn't necessarily want to get intimate with, but just introducing them to the idea of being more open or being with other people might eventually end up cracking it open for you. And so whenever I broach the subject, I always approach it in a, hey, this is something we do. We love it. We have a great time with it. Maybe you should explore it too.
Well, and actually, that's interesting, because none of the people we've played that card with were unaware of us being swingers. So, yeah, you wouldn't want to make this your introduction to you are in an open relationship. You probably want to let them know at some point before that so you can gauge their reaction to that fact in general.
A lot of it is gauging your friends beforehand, too. If you know your friend's personality, that they're very not open, that they might, you know, that they're very strict on things, you know not to bring it up to them. But if they seem open to other ideas in the world, that they might be willing to be open to you, and then you all have to just, everything is based on individual circumstances, individual people, and sometimes you'll be right on, sometimes you won't, and that's just, you know, that's the gamble of it.
Well, and I guess that's the bottom line, it is a gamble, right? You gotta be kind of feel it out without getting too direct, and then your move. It literally is just like dating. You know, get a sense of whether or not somebody's gonna, you know, it's just gonna work out or not.
And be well aware that you are probably going to get a number of responses that say, no, I like you as a friend.
Yep.
And you have to be okay with that. And that brings us to the big, fear for a lot of people in this is that it is just like dating. There is rejection. There is all that stuff that you, maybe if you're married, you thought you were done with that. I mean, it brings all the excitement of first dates and the unknown and all that. And of course, it also comes with all the fear of, oh, what if they don't like me? Or, and that happens, you know. So let's talk about rejection.
I'm going to go cry in a corner and eat a bunch of Haagen-Dazs.
and how to deal with rejection.
Well, there's going to be rejections. Not everybody, like in the real world with friends, you're not going to always like somebody. You know, you've turned down people before. You know, people are going to turn you down. I'm really, really, really hyper and energetic. A lot of people can't handle that. I understand that.
Well, and that's part of being very self-aware and okay with who you are and knowing that one couple or one person deciding that they don't want to be with you does not affect your value in any way. And the nice thing about it is you do have a wingman that's permanent, your significant other. So even if you are rejected by a new person or a new couple, you still know that they are interested in you.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing.
You can still get lucky that night.
Yes.
Sorry, side note to that, to all the couples out there, if you don't like another couple, be honest with them. Don't play the games of blowing them off all the time, or, you know, it's better just say, hey, we're just not interested, than to play the games, because we've had couples that we actually met them at the restaurant and they suggested a better restaurant. Well, we go get our car and we try to find out where they are. They don't return our phone
calls.
They took
off.
Yeah,
oh,
they took
awful.
Off.
Oh, man.
See, that's just...
You know, it's wow. Like, okay, if you didn't like us, that's fine. We understand that we don't match with somebody. It's better to be open and honest than to play these games about, oh, well, you know, this reason and this reason, which is obviously bogus, that we can't do it. Just be honest.
Let's see, you dodged a massive bullet there.
Well, there's something that's very important to know about the lifestyle, is that there are pricks here, too.
Yeah. And just crazy, stupid people.
And not the good kind.
And those are the people you don't want to hang out with. You know, that's the nice thing.
Well, besides the prick, I know a lot of people, they don't want to hurt the other couple's feeling. We'll say, like, you know, well, oh my gosh, she's a fat whatever. I don't want to see her. Obviously, don't say it that way, but still, it's nicer to say, sorry, we're just not attracted to you. You know, good luck in the lifestyle. Hope you find somebody, you know, other than just...
Yes, and ditching them at a restaurant totally won't
hurt. Yeah, that
well,
won't.
Yeah, like
those are just people that are afraid of confrontation.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, just say, hey, we're not interested in you, good luck, you know, instead of playing the games like that. Don't be a prick, just be honest and be nice, and, you know, we'll all live happily ever after.
You know, with this kind of stuff swinging, you know, if you don't have a good handle on your insecurities, this will destroy you, you know? I mean, you're dealing with more people, you're getting involved with more people in your life. It isn't, I mean, you gotta face it, this isn't, it's complicated. It gets complicated. And, you know, you can, you've gotta come to terms with yourself and be able to have the confidence to say, you know what, people aren't gonna like me all the time, or they are gonna like me all the time. You gotta develop the ability to say, tell people you're not interested than them. You know, you can't just dine and dash on them like that. That's ridiculous.
Luckily, they did pay for their food at their one restaurant, so.
And then, wow. You know, it's infinitely more complicated when you're trying to, you know, if you thought dating was complicated, when you're dating couples, trying to find four people that all have some chemistry, it does get hard, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you find it where, you know, only half the couple will have chemistry with the other half of the couple, and, you know, then you're kind of like, well, then what do? You know, you gotta talk this over with your partner and figure that kind of stuff out.
And one of the quickest ways to find issue in the lifestyle is to, quote, take one for the team, which is when, you know, one side of the couple is interested in the other ones, and you don't say anything because, well, she's interested, so I'll go along and, you know, I'll make the best of it. There's a difference between being generous and nice and all that and doing something that you will ultimately probably regret, if not resent your partner for getting you involved in this when it was really your fucking fault in the first place.
Well, I mean, plus there are some consequences in the heat of the moment. I mean, you know, as a guy, if I'm going to take one for the team and you end up getting into a sexual situation, it's harder to perform under those circumstances. I mean, I have to admit, I at one point in my life, I may have been able to pop a boner at even the mere thought of a hint of an idea in the heaven of a booby. But, you know, now I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, I can't just pop a boner in like 2 seconds flat. You know, there's got to be
use Viagra, then you can.
And you know what? If that's very true, but if you know,
not sometimes
in the heat
that
of the moment
help.
I just think, you know, as a guy, it's tough. And, you know, as a girl, if you do that, yes, there's no outward signal of arousal that you can definitely point to and say, hey, she's either enjoying it or not. But I think as the guy on the receiving end of, you know, a woman, you can kind of tell when she's not into it, and then of course that kills
it for
you
too. Oh, baby, oh, baby, yes, harder, half the cupper. Harder, oh, baby, oh, baby.
That's right. If you've ever
watched... Wait a minute, that was going on last night.
You know what...
And note to self, now know what Kylie faking it sounds like.
Oh, I'm a better actress than that, trust me. You won't tell what I'm faking. Unless I'm pissed off at you, then I'm going to be like, okay, get off.
I was just going to say, unless you're mad at us.
So, moving into, you know, safety in dating. Not safety in sex. Safety in this dating arena here. Your first meeting should be in a public place.
Yes.
You know, there are the Craigslist killers are a perfect example of what can happen when you don't exercise the same caution as with meeting anyone else, you know.
Also if you have a friend that you trust saying, like I have a girlfriend saying, hey, you know, Katie, I'm going to go out with a couple tonight, you know, if I don't call you tomorrow, you know, call the cops, we were supposed to meet him, you know. Just give them a heads up. Maybe also have like a text messaging thing where you do what you do on normal dates, where you text your girlfriend saying, hey, it's okay, you know, we're okay, we're doing fine, you know, something like that.
Dylan's our horrible revenge buddy. He gets the addresses when we're going out to meet someone for the first time with the instructions that should we not, you know, surface again to wreak horrible revenge upon those who...
We're going out. We're not back, avenge our deaths.
Yes, exactly. Not back, avenge deaths.
Avenge deaths.
Exactly. And it is, you know, it's easy to joke about that, but it's you can never be too safe. And
it's a fact
really,
in the world today.
Really, after a meeting with, you know, sitting down in front of people and talking for an hour, 2 hours, you do get a very good idea of their personality. Not to say you can't be fooled, but... You do get an idea of whether or not this is a couple that, one, you want to hang out with more, or two, you feel you can trust to hang out with more. So definitely restaurant, that type of first date meeting place. Don't meet for drinks at your house.
Sorry, I was saying a restaurant's always nice because, again, just like a normal date, you can kind of bring up other topics. You know, something in the restaurant could trigger something where it's a more relaxed. And also, it's a lot easier to part ways at a restaurant than if you're at the other person's house.
Oh, absolutely. In the house, at a restaurant, when you're done with dinner, it's a very natural, easy end to the date. So then you can decide whether or not you want to invite them back to your place or, you know, ask if they'd like to continue this.
I don't know. I know you guys like the restaurant thing. I hate the restaurant thing just because it's... you're just sitting there eating and making small talk, and that's cool, but I like to do something when I'm on a date, just in general. It's not really a swinger thing or an open relationship thing, but I want to do something.
You want to go skydiving? Bungee jumping?
Oh, naked skydiving. No, I don't know. I mean, you know, even
people
if it's
looking up going, oh my
like
god, what is that?
Look what's coming!
It's like bowling or shooting pool or, you know... Even something physical, like playing basketball together. So I don't know. Just I try to be creative if I'm gonna do something.
Well,
like
there's
that
always because... options. We just brought restaurant because we just threw it out there. But obviously, that would be bowling or pool or.
Bowling is also a safe place.
I don't recommend as a
throwing large objects
because...
around is very safe.
You never talk.
Oh yeah, and actually, you know, I was told this by a few people recently that when they joined a bowling league. In all of the bowling leagues they've ever been in, there's been at least one swinger couple.
Nice.
So, something to consider.
Oh, see, I have a long and sordid history with bowling. Now maybe I can have a long and sordid future with bowling.
Because that's the goal with everything, is to have long and sordid futures with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you own a bowling ball, a boat, or a hot tub. Odds are, you know, you're a swinger.
Hot tub. Oh.
That's like end game for the swingers. Is when you get that hot tub, You're good. You're good.
Yeah, hopefully ours goes in this spring, so.
Hey, very nice.
As soon as we get the money, we're going to get a privacy fence, then that.
We got to figure out if the association will even allow a hot tub at our place.
We got the privacy fence 2 years ago.
Yes.
We're working on the patio.
Well,
we just
got our house like that, so we're.
Then you need the privacy tent.
No, we got it all planned out.
The privacy soundproofing,
curtains, you know, retractable awnings, everything.
Oh, wow, nice. Fancy! I know where we're partying next.
It's pretty well set up now, even without the hot tub. You know,
it is. It is a party pad. Yeah.
Cooper, you liked the lights on Friday, didn't you? That was kind of cool.
Basically, the consensus is, though, to meet in a public place, whether if you feel comfortable at restaurant or bowling or whatever.
And be aware that the clubs, while a public place, all have that sort of let's look away at things going on because you don't know if someone, you know, there's a less of an easy out at these clubs. But that may
really elaborate a little bit. I'm actually not sure what you meant by that.
There's pressure to do something.
There's not only pressure to do something, but everybody else is sort of going in one way. So you might be tempted to just kind of go with the flow when you're not quite ready to do that.
Also, a lot of people turn a blind eye because they don't want to be identified as being at the club. So let's say something does go wrong, other people are not going to admit that they were there. To vouch for you, vouch not for you.
Now, that said, you know, the clubs all do have firm policies on no means no, and if they see anything happening or they see any drama building, you will get kicked out. So,
and there's nothing like a 400-pound guy pick you up by your neck and throw you out.
So I'm not trying to implicate the clubs in any way in allowing non-consensual activity in any way. And that was serious, not sarcasm. So, does anyone have anything else about the idea of just general how to find people? Because we are winding down here.
Well, we haven't talked about the old school meet and greet. You know, the bars, you know, meeting at a bar and the whole other group of swingers. And
and there are a lot of,
that used to be how it was done before the internet.
Between that and the magazines where you had to write to mailboxes for swingers. But there's a large community of different clubs that do nights that are specifically geared towards swingers, and they are not clubs for playtime on premises. They are off-premises places, which means you meet there and then go elsewhere. A lot of them are in hotels, to make it easy to go elsewhere. But there is a lot of that, and that is a good, safe first step place, absolutely. The downside I would say to that, and the reason I don't, and the wife and I don't do that, is because it does open up the opportunity of the meat market mentality. You know, there are a lot of people there, and if you're not comfortable approaching groups of people already talking, you probably won't make many inroads unless you're going to bank on the idea of sitting in the corner and hoping somebody's going to come over and approach you.
And you have to talk about this with your significant other, too, because where I personally, I don't have a problem going up to people and talking like that, but I don't like feeling like a piece of meat that's being passed around from one person to the next. And a lot of times it can turn into that at these mass group things where you start off doing with one person and another person joins in, and soon it's like passed around Kylie, and I'm just not interested in that. I like the more intimate one-on-one, or, you know, two-on-two, three-on-three, whatever, but not, you know, oh, look, someone just popped up. I don't know who you are, but, you know, go at it.
Note to self, do not pass around Kylie. So yeah, the meet and greets are perfectly viable opportunity. So that brings us to the end of episode 2 here. We hope it was informative, but most of all, we hope it was fun.
Was it fun?
Anyone have any last-minute comments on...
Cooper, kisses. I had fun.
Yes, you had fun? Yeah, I'm glad you had fun.
I had a lot of fun. Can you tell?
Good, good. I can tell. I can hear it in your voice. You're overwhelmingly
enthusiasm.
Just explosive with delight.
Well, Kylie gave me a hug and kiss.
I just like to say, I'm Dylan, and remember, us flakes have to stick together.
You really have to bring that up.
Now again with the dandruff. Just not fun. So thank you for listening to Life on the Swing Set. We'll catch you next time.